Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And good afternoon and welcome to Iceman Insights starring Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, the only place you can go for Iceman information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 366 days a year, because it's so good of a website, there's even an extra day in the calendar.
Every year is leap year.
How you doing today, Michael?
I'm enjoying this June the 64th.
Yes, 64th, yeah.
That's the extra day.
You got it, you got it. That brings me up a topic. We'll get to that later. How about this coach pile? I mean, everyone I'm running into, everyone loves him. Everyone's excited about him. He's a no-nonsense guy. And you went to the Q&A at Swander a couple of weeks ago. Why don't you give us the highlights of that?
Oh, boy, there were a lot of highlights. Pyle, it was a great event. Pyle was there, and it was a season ticket holder Q&A on May 21st. And Pyle talked for over an hour. He basically talked until there were no more questions. It took questions from everyone, and there were a couple times where he looked around, and it looked like it was going to die out, and then somebody else put their hand up, and he went until nobody else had any questions. And as you said, he's an open book, very open and honest about everything, which is a change from the way things have been. With Crom and Ficarelli, it was kind of a controlled atmosphere, I think, as far as the message getting out and wanting to make sure that things were put out at specific times and in certain ways. So it's just a different kind of feel, a different vibe we're getting from this new regime, and I think it's kind of a breath of fresh air for a lot of fans, the openness, and that there's no secrets, there's nothing that's taboo. It's just, if you ask me, I'll give you a straight answer, and that's a kind of attitude that I think plays really well in this market.
Yeah, definitely, and that's part of it too, is it's this market. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a bunch of farmers and blue-collar people and just working it all out and having your passion on your shirt sleeve and this is the way it's going to be. I think it does work really well here.
Yeah, so of the many topics that Pyle discussed, the first thing, and I think to a lot of people perhaps the most surprising, was that he was very forthcoming about which players he has plans to bring back. And he named names, a number of names, and didn't mince words in talking about them. So these are the virtual locks to return. Nothing is official yet because the new league year has not started, so no one can officially sign. But these are the guys that Pyle mentioned by name that he expects to have back. Josh Beaulieu, Dylan Clark, Jason Dale! Patrick Kennedy, Chris Forfar, Peter Sakaris, and Jake Obermeyer. And on the topic of Beaulieu, for those that didn't hear it, on the last episode of The Amusement Park...
With Brian Patafi,
he said that Beaulieu is ahead of schedule in his recovery, and that he is now considered likely to be ready for the start of training camp, which is much better news than we had anticipated.
They were talking November, December when
right.
It first happened.
So that's well ahead of schedule, and that's awesome news. If that's the case and he is able to come back, still remains to be seen what kind of player he'll be when he comes back, if he might be a little tentative, and how fully recovered the wrist will be at the start of the season, but... if he's able to be on the ice for opening night, given the original prognosis, that will be a very pleasant surprise.
I wouldn't expect any hesitancy from Josh, because in that interview we had with Patafi 3 weeks ago as well, he's talking about he's just a madman in rehab. He's mm-hmm. just working so hard in that rehab. And it's not like it's a concussion or something like that where you have to be worried about when you go to the corner. If he's rehabbing that wrist and increasing its flexibility and its strength and everything else, that's not going to slow him down. If he is cleared and healthy and ready to go, he's going to be ready to go.
Yeah, and the thing that I think will help him is if he was a flat-out skill guy who really depends on his hands to create offense, I could see it being more of a problem. But he's more of a grinder kind of
power forward.
He's a power forward, so he's not going to be affected as much by maybe if his wrist is 90% instead of 100%. He's still going to be able to produce because he generates offense by banging the body around and making a pest of himself, basically. And whether or not his wrist is totally back is not going to have much of an effect on that. So very good news on that.
Now, did I see somewhere, too, and maybe this was a unofficial source, but is Donnie Harris also on that protected list? I thought I saw that.
Well, the protected list is a whole different
thing. Am I jumping ahead?
The name Donnie Harris has come up. Pyle did not actually mention him by name in the Q&A.
Okay.
But Cody Brown and a couple other people, I think, talked to him afterward, and they said that he had also mentioned Donnie Harris and Dustin Hoepfner.
Okay.
So I don't. He didn't say their names during the Q&A, gotcha. But it sounds like they're at least in the mix, too. But who knows if all of these guys wind up coming back. It might just be these are the guys that he's talking to and has an eye on and would like to come back. It doesn't necessarily mean they all will. But I'm a little bit surprised at just the number of guys that he's talking about bringing mm-hmm. back from a last-place team. I thought there would be maybe two or three, maybe four, and otherwise he would kind of want to clean house and create his own roster. But he mentioned, and I'll jump a little forward in our notes to get to this, but he mentioned that he thought last year's Iceman team actually had a lot of good pieces but terrible leadership. And he said, more or less, the team would have been fine if the leadership had been changed earlier in the season. So maybe that's part of why he's more willing to bring a lot of guys back, thinking, I can work with the same core, put a few new pieces around them, have better leadership, and we're going to be just fine. So it sounds like, I mean, we may have two full lines of guys coming back from this past year's team. So there may be a few new names from the affiliations, maybe a couple new guys that he brings in that are ECHL contracted players, but we may very well have two-thirds of the same roster from what we had last year. But he thinks the pieces that he's bringing back are pieces that are worth bringing back. So we'll see. One of the names that he is interested in bringing back is Dan Tatro. But it's sounding more and more like that's probably not going to happen. Dan's wife has opened a new business down in Allen, Texas. And it sounds like he's going to try to sign with the Allen Americans. And if he doesn't, if they don't want him or if they just can't come to terms, he'll probably retire before he comes back. But the good thing for us is it sounds like if he doesn't play for Allen, but he is still playing, if he decides he doesn't want to retire, he probably will come back here. But right now, just based on the way Pyle was talking about it, I get the impression that he's not counting on having Tatro back, even though he does want him. So it would be great to have him, but I think it's time to start turning the page in that realm and consider if he comes back, it's a pleasant surprise. Otherwise, we shouldn't be too terribly disappointed because I don't think it's all that likely. So we'll see what happens with that. He did say he is talking to Nathan Moon, which elicited nice. Some applause from those in attendance. Moon, of course, was sent down to the Iceman this year from the AHL, but it sounds like he's close to signing him to an ECHL deal so that he's ours if he doesn't get an AHL contract for this coming season. Now, it's quite possible he will, and if he does get a contract with Springfield and we're still affiliated with them, we could still get him as a send down that way. But it sounds like if he's not in the AHL, then he'll be here. So that's good news because I think Moon is one of those yep. pieces that's a good guy that you can build around, plays with energy. He's kind of like a Beaulieu where yep. he'll throw his body around and play at both ends of the ice.
Can score.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy you need. And he's got talent too.
Yep.
So that's good news. Bad news for some people is he confirmed that Mark Cody will definitely not be returning. Said he's a great guy, but just too injury prone. So Cody will not be in the mix.
Cody also is looking for SPHL job more than likely.
Probably so. I would think so, yeah. Maybe CHL too, but yeah, the SPHL, especially with a couple of new teams in the SPHL in this area, you might see him sniff around Peoria and Bloomington and see if there's some work there. So, and he would be a good fit for that league. That's kind of a more physical, a little more fighting in the SPHL, a little less skill. So he would be a kind of a regular shift kind of guy in that league as it is currently constituted. So maybe he'll just retire. We'll see. He is married to a local girl, so who knows what his future holds, but it's not the Iceman.
Yep.
On Jeff Pyle's radar, and this is a feather in our caps.
Woohoo!
Mike Ulrich.
Because that's what this show is all about.
Yes. It's about patting our own backs, and our shoulders are hurting all the time because we do that so much. But Mike Ulrich, who finished this past season with Trenton, which is now folded, he is a free agent because of that. He, as we've mentioned before, he spent his rookie season 2 years ago with Dylan Clark in the CHL with the Tulsa Oilers. And both of them had 64 points in 66 games. So, essentially, this is another Dylan Clark. So, if you can add a second Dylan Clark to your team, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, with the Josh Beaulieu, who think of that line.
Yeah, you put Beaulieu, Clark, and Ulrich on a top line, that's lethal. So, he is, Ulrich, the only guy that both of us mentioned when we discussed players we would target. On our May 1st episode. So,
which just proves that Coach Pyle has been listening to this show for months.
He listened to it and he said, these guys are on to something. So it'll be pretty cool if that does happen. Ulrich is out there for the taking because he's a free agent thanks to Trenton Folding. So hopefully he can indeed come here. And I'm sure that the connection with Dylan Clark cannot hurt because this business is as much about guys you know and who can put a good word in and connections as it is your skill
scouting
there's not much scouting, it's talking to people you know. So that's pretty cool news. He did mention on the topic of affiliation that we are likely to be affiliated with the Columbus Springfield side or nobody at all. It sounds like there will not be two affiliates, and if it's not Columbus Springfield, we may just go independent. He is negotiating with the Blue Jackets organization right now. He knows people in both organizations, Columbus and Springfield. So that's something. But they're discussing how much control he will have. And basically, he wants to ensure that we don't get walked all over. He doesn't want it to be a one-way street. He wants it to be a two-way relationship where it's mutually beneficial. And if he doesn't get some sort of assurance that that's going to happen, then I think he's probably prepared to just go with no affiliate. Now, he would probably prefer to have that affiliate. But if not, he's not going to be a doormat just for the sake of being a doormat.
Because we learned what happens.
being a doormat is not fun.
No.
So nothing official on that yet, but I would imagine we'll hear something within the next month or so. In general, he talked a lot about things we've kind of heard before. He wants to have an up-tempo style, wants to players to be accountable, everybody needs to be a two-way player, and the players have to be team-first guys. A lot of that's coach speak, and you wouldn't expect him to say anything else. Well, you know, put your money where your mouth is, essentially. We'll see how much of this up-tempo style actually comes to fruition. A lot of that will depend on the kind of players he has.
Yep.
You have to have the horses to win the race. But we'll see what happens with that. But he's saying all the right things. I think everybody is liking what he's saying. It's just a matter of actions will speak louder than words. So time will tell. Nobody needs to be passing judgment right now because anybody can say the right thing.
Yeah. We haven't even had a training camp yet.
Yeah. So, beyond that, something kind of funny. I asked a few questions during the Q&A. I know that's a shock.
Yeah.
but I asked about the power play, specifically what his style of power play is, and he gave kind of a stock answer. But in asking about that, I referenced Todd Robinson having been the power play quarterback this past season, and then said, what can we expect from your power play? And he immediately said, you definitely won't see Todd Robinson on my power play. And that elicited immediate applause. Everyone in attendance thought that was funny and awesome. So kind of an interesting exchange.
So we know Coach Pyle came into town for 4 days as a consultant at Mr. Ron Gary's behest. Did Todd Robinson piss him off?
I wonder,
in the interview,
what did he do that made him? Yeah, I don't know.
He was here for 4 days, and obviously, after you're brought in as a consultant, you keep track and keep tabs with the businesses that you went into just to see how they're progressing, whether they're implementing some of the things that you said or not. But that obviously shows that T-Rob had a lasting effect.
Yeah.
From dating back to January when he came in for those four days.
He made a strong first impression, and not in a good way.
Go ahead.
I don't know. It's a good question. What exactly, you know, in that short of a time span, what happened to where Pyle is that sour on Todd Robinson? I mean, there's a lot of fans that are sour on Todd Robinson, but that built up over time, over the course of a season. So what exactly happened in just a few days span that that caused him to be this anti-T-Rob?
One thing I thought about was the second year of the Iceman, Ryan Sexsmith, he finished off the first year with us playing defense.
Mm-hmm.
And we all liked him. We called him Sexy. That was kind of his nickname.
And he became our Chuck Norris.
And at training camp, the Iceman fired the coach. They brought in Jack Collins. And at training camp, I was at Swander, and Ryan Sexsmith went up to him and said, "Are you the new coach?" And coach said, "Yeah, I'm Jack Collins." He said, he shook his hand, and he looked him right in the eye, and he said, "My name's Ryan Sexsmith. You're going to want to remember that. I'm going out here now to put on a clinic. I'm going to be your man, so you better remember my name."
Wow.
And he got cut out of training camp. So, and he was just shocked.
That's some cojones.
It didn't work.
Wow.
So I didn't know if T-Rob had one of those kind of incidences with Coach Pyle.
Hi, I'm Todd Robinson. The world revolves around me.
Yeah. Is he just... I don't think Coach Pyle is on Facebook and on the Maniacs Asylum and just saying it for fan support. But then again, he might be, where he's just knowing that you can throw T-Rob under the bus and 80% of Evansville is going to cheer you. So.
Yeah, that could be a little part of it. Ultimately, though, I don't think Pyle particularly cares what people think of him or his decisions. I think he's going to do what he thinks is right. And if it's popular, great. If it's not, oh well. People will just have to get over it because he's in this for his job.
Yep.
This is his line of work, and he's going to do it as he sees fit, and he's not going to make decisions based on what the fans want or don't want. So I don't know. It's an interesting topic of conversation of what in such a short amount of time soured him so much, but we'll never know.
We may.
We may. Maybe if there's another Q&A, someone should ask. So, why don't you like Todd Robinson?
Or if he'd ever answer all the phone calls I leave on there for invites to the radio show.
Well, he doesn't answer you because of the texts that you send after that.
So.
Picture messages. And
hey, you know, you got to put it out there sometimes.
Wow.
That's all I'm saying. Anyways.
I didn't know your camera had that good of a zoom.
Here, I'll text you one right now.
From your personal collection. A couple of last notes from the...
What was our line earlier? Daddy getting hot? What was that?
Yeah, Daddy's too hot.
Daddy's too hot!
That's from our sound check before the show. A couple last things from the Q&A. I talked to Ron Geary afterward, and he mentioned that Pyle actually only intends to sign two veterans instead of the maximum of four. Pyle mentioned that it's basically a young man's league, and Geary also mentioned that part of the thing with that is it allows you to have more of a balanced roster and a balanced salary cap. You're not so top-heavy. And Pyle had also mentioned during the Q&A that he wants to keep some cap room open so that he can make moves during the season. So if someone from Europe becomes available during the season, he can sign someone. If somebody gets hurt and you need to add a critical piece, you can try to trade and add salary to the cap. So I think... we're probably only going to see one forward and one defenseman who are veterans, and everyone else, you're not going to have a bunch of rookies, but no one else will qualify as a veteran per ECHL rule. Of all the names that he mentioned, Beaulieu and Tatro are the only ones who will be veterans according to ECHL rules. So my guess is Beaulieu will be our only veteran forward, and if Tatro does not come back, he will sign another veteran defenseman instead, and that's going to be it as far as veterans go.
And it isn't mandatory, but you think those two guys get A's on their sweaters, or is one of them become a C and one become the A? You think that's where the leadership, is he going to rely on that veteran leadership, or is he just going to give those out as he sees in the locker room, but he still has the two veterans to kind of keep it corralled?
I think they would certainly be leaders in the clubhouse. I think if it's Beaulieu and Tatro, I think Tatro's the C and Beaulieu is one of the A's. If it's Beaulieu and a new defenseman, I would guess Beaulieu is the C. the new veteran defenseman is probably an A, even though he's new to the team. And then you would pick a Jason Dale.
Jason Dale!
Wouldn't really pick Jason Dale. You just wanted to say
no,
that.
Like no, you know, he was a captain in Bloomington before he came to the Iceman. So
yep.
I think he would be a good choice for the A. That would be my guess. I think if Tatro doesn't come back, I think Beaulieu is the captain. Dale is one of the assistants or alternates. And then the other veteran defenseman, whoever it is, will be the second A. That's my official prediction.
Cool.
Sure to be wrong.
Yeah. We'll get into that in the next segment.
Yeah. So that's all from the pile Q&A. Like I said, it was a really cool event. It's really nice how approachable he is. He's, like I said, anybody can say the right things, but that doesn't mean you should dismiss it when they do. You know, just because you're saying the right things doesn't mean that what you're saying has no merit. So I really like talking to the guy. He's very open and honest and kind of a breath of fresh air. And I think if the results on the ice end up being anywhere close to what he's saying, people are really going to like the Jeff Pyle era. So moving on to protected lists.
Yes.
We had the...
Starting to get real. Isn't it getting exciting?
Yeah, it's hockey news.
Mrs. Dixie Jack H. said after the ECHL Cup was over, the playoffs were over, she said, tomorrow is the start of the next season.
We're all undefeated.
We are all undefeated. Go Iceman. I thought, oh, that is so perfect.
Yeah, that's the Chicago Cubs mantra. Yeah. I believe. They have that trademarked. The protected lists were announced on Monday. They don't mean a whole lot. Basically, you can protect anybody who was your property at the end of the season. There's no limit to the number of guys you can protect. And essentially, all it does is it guarantees you exclusive negotiating rights with them. It keeps them as your property until the season-ending rosters are announced on June 15th. So it essentially just keeps guys under your umbrella for two more weeks. It doesn't mean a whole lot. It really means nothing as far as who is or is not coming back the following season. Because most teams, like I said, will protect anyone they can protect. Just because if you have an asset, you protect it. So the Icemen did protect all 26 players whose ECHL rights they owned at the end of the season. Two goaltenders were James Reed and Kevin Moore. 10 defensemen, Tatro, Phil Plante, Matt and Aaron Jens, Jake Overmeyer, Matt Krug, Jesse Perrin, Donnie Harris, Dustin Hofner, and Nathan Martin, who a lot of people probably don't even remember who that is. Martin never actually played a game for the Iceman. He was claimed off of waivers from Reading late in the year, but he never signed because he was still finishing college. He was a rookie, and he was in college in Ontario somewhere, and he could swing going to college in Ontario and playing in Reading, PA. But he couldn't figure out a way to go to college in Ontario and play in Evansville, Indiana. It's a little farther away. So he never did sign, but because we had claimed him off of waivers, we put him on team suspension, which allowed us to keep his rights, and therefore we can protect him. So that's the 10 defensemen. The 14 forwards that were protected were Todd Robinson, Kevin Baker.
Nice of you to list those two at the top of your list.
Well, you know, they're veterans. They deserve to go first.
Did you say deserve or desert?
Ooh, nice. That would have been a heck of a slip. Robinson, Baker, Josh Beaulieu, Dylan Clark,
Jason Dale,
Patrick Kennedy, Mark Cody, Matt Shepke, Peter Sakaris, Colin Redden, Chris Forfar, Miles McCauley, Derek St. Marie, and Nathan Moon. Now, the interesting thing about Moon is normally you can't protect a guy who was sent down from the AHL. But Moon's situation is totally different because he also has ECHL rights, which are separate, because 2 years ago, when he was a rookie, he signed an ECHL contract with Cincinnati. But before the season ever started, he then signed a deal with the Worcester Sharks in the AHL. He was invited to their camp. They liked what they saw, so they signed him. He spent the whole year there. At the end of that season, Cincinnati, even though he had never played a game for them, they submitted a qualifying offer to him, which allowed them to keep his rights. Well, that's why at the beginning of this past season, when Springfield, after they signed him for the AHL, when they wanted to send him down, they had to send him to Cincinnati because the Cyclones owned his rights. And that's why the Icemen had to trade with Cincinnati in order to acquire his rights. So even though he was a guy that was sent down from the AHL, his contract in the ECHL, his rights, are a totally separate issue. So the Iceman, because they traded for his rights, could include him on the protected list. Now, because he never actually signed an ECHL contract, they can't include him on the season-ending roster. So on June 15th, when the season-ending rosters come out, he will not be on that list, and he will essentially become a free agent. Now, again, it sounds like if he's going to play in the ECHL, it's going to be here. But he will officially become a free agent in all likelihood before he signs, if he does end up signing with the Icemen. So that's why he's on the list, but he will not appear on the season-ending roster. And when he does not, people should not freak out and think that means he's not coming back.
Whoops. Sorry. I mucked up. No, we're fine. We're actually recording right now.
Well,
the screensaver popped up, so I just went to shake it, but I hit the cursor button, which paused it. But we're all good now.
Yeah.
Just to
we'll continue.
Welcome to Iceman Insight.
Welcome to technical difficulties with the Dirty D.
Yeah. Yeah, just another day.
Oh boy. So anyway, the season-ending rosters will come out on June 15th, and that essentially will end the season as far as officially contracts and things like that. The season-ending roster does have a limit. You can only include 20 guys. So we already know Moon will not be on it, but that means out of the other 25, five of them are going to be left off. So the question is, out of the 25, not including Moon, who are the five who would get left off? The way I see it, there are two ways you can approach it. One is you leave off guys that you know you're going to sign, because essentially won't matter if they briefly become free agents if you're just going to turn around and sign them anyway. But that carries the risk of nothing is official until it's official.
Mm-hmm.
So if you leave them off and someone else swoops in and gives them a great offer, they could leave and you get nothing. And you're without a player that you were counting on building around. So I would be really surprised if that's the route they go. I think even if you are 99% sure that you're going to sign Josh Beaulieu and Dylan Clark and Jason Dale, You have to include them on the season-ending roster because you can't take the risk of losing them. So the other option is you leave off guys that you know you're not going to sign and who aren't really valuable trade assets, kind of low-end roster guys or rookies that you just don't think you're not going to want and you wouldn't think you would get anything out of them. Maybe a goalie like a Kevin Moore, a guy like Matt Shepke who's playing in Europe, a guy like Mark Cody. If you know you're not going to sign him and he's probably not going to be a trade asset, then that's the kind of player that you would not put on your season-ending roster. So
let me ask you a question that you probably can't answer. That way I look brilliant and you look bad. That's also what this show is for. Allen Americans, they join the ECHL. We have Todd Robinson's rights. How does that all work out?
If they join the ECHL, Todd Robinson's rights are ours until the date in the summer when we relinquish his rights. If we include him on the season-ending roster, he's ours until July 1st. But then on July 1st, to retain his rights, you would have to give him a qualifying offer. If you don't give him a qualifying offer, then he becomes a free agent immediately.
Gotcha.
If you give him a qualifying offer, you basically just retain his rights for another 30 days because veterans, you cannot retain their rights for the following season.
Gotcha.
So even if you give him a qualifying offer on July 1, then you only have him until the end of July. If he's not then signed, he becomes a free agent. So it would basically, there's ways that you can extend the amount of time that he's your asset. But if Allen knows that you're not going to re-sign him, why would they trade you something for him?
Yeah.
They know he's going to end up being a free agent. The one thing is, if they trade you for him, he's theirs. Because if they don't trade for him and he becomes a free agent, then anyone can sign him.
Yeah.
The question is, though, would anyone want him? You know, how many teams would be in the market for his services? So it's an asset you can keep around as long as you want. The question is,
he's got a cup.
That's true.
He's a champion.
So who knows what's going to happen there? And he was listed first on our forwards.
Yeah.
but I think Todd will definitely be on the season-ending roster. I do not think they will give him a qualifying offer because all that does is prolong the inevitable of him becoming a free agent. And I think they'll use the qualifying offers. You can only do eight. I think they'll use those on guys that they intend to sign that they just haven't finalized everything with yet. So we'll see what happens. But I believe your effort to confuse me and have no answer was foiled.
Failed.
Yeah. Kind of like your technical skills.
Failed.
Yeah. So but yeah, anyway, the season-ending roster comes out on June 15th. That's the next milestone date this summer. And teams cannot actually officially sign someone for next season until after that. The new league year essentially begins on June 16th. Now, they can agree to terms. You can basically come to contract terms and have it all drawn up. You just can't officially sign it and submit it to the league and get it finalized until June 16th. So that's the next milestone we need to get to. One other quick little Iceman note before we take our break. Some happy news we did need to share. Announced on Facebook just this week, Bridget McDonald from the Iceman office is expecting.
That is fantastic.
It is. She and Shane have been trying for a couple years. She is due on January 2nd, right in the middle of the season. So they didn't plan that very well. So that's pretty cool news. I know they've been wanting to have kids, and they were struggling with the process and going through different options, including considering adoption. So it's pretty awesome that they're going to be able to have one of their own. Bridget commented on Facebook that it's just her way of trying to expand the Iceman fan base.
There you go. Take one for the team every once in a while.
So, and for people that don't know who Bridget is, she's been with the team since day one. She's the only employee other than Ron Geary who's been with the team since day one as an official paid employee. And I have no doubt in my mind that if Bridget was not part of this team, the Iceman would not exist right now. Because in the early days, there was a lot of weird stuff going on, and she held it all together with duct tape and glue. And
common sense.
Yeah.
That was thoroughly lacking through every other employee in the organization.
And she, because of her role, she's actually the only person who the Booster Club has ever given an award to. At the end of the second season at Swander, the Booster Club got together and put together a plaque for her and presented her with basically an award of appreciation for everything she had done to hold the team together when there were some really trying times. So the Booster Club has talked about doing awards in the future, but there will always be one first, and it was Bridget McDonald, and rightfully so. So
definitely.
Happy news and congratulations to them.
Our next segment, our best segment of every show, 3.5 minutes, and this one's a dandy of dandies,
yes,
too.
Yes, it is.
3.5 minutes where you don't have to listen to either one of us talk,
mainly me.
And no technical difficulties. Shockers. Hockey. Rock song of the week.
All right, speaking of women who have been around the Iceman since day one, or at least were, she's no longer, but she was back in the day, it's Wander. Next Wednesday, June 12th, is the birthday of Erica Coy, wife of Isaac Coy, the captain from the Iceman championship team, and founder of the original Icicles. No, Icy Hots. That's what
Icy
they called
Hots.
Themselves. They were not the Icicles. They were the Icy Hots. But when we were at Swander, she always asked me to play this as an intermission song. She loved this song, and she got the rest of the Icy Hots to sing and dance along to it. So in honor of next week's birthday for Erica Coy, this is Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Step inside, walk this way, you and me, babe. Hey, hey! Heavy's like a bomb, baby, come and get it on. Living like a lover with a radar phone. Looking like a trans, like a video bam. Devilish and warm, can I be your man? We'll be right back.
And we're back here on Iceman Insights, the Shocker, the Dirty D, the Wire,
technical difficulties,
the Music Bomb, 96.9 WYIR. Where are we? Chasing the Cups.
This is our playoff update. First off, in the ECHL, the Reading Royals won the Kelly Cup Finals in five games over the Stockton Thunder.
Former farm club of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Toronto didn't renew that affiliation this year.
Reading?
Yep.
Are they?
Yep. And yeah, then Reading won. What a surprise.
They're with Washington now.
Yep.
Yeah. You get rid of the Leafs and you become a winner.
Yeah.
Well,
gives me something to think
that.
About. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Your new motto for life.
Still bitter.
Reading won the first two games at home. Then they went, it was a 2-3-2. So they went out to Stockton for the third through fifth games and took two out of three. So they won game five in Stockton 6-0. But that was fun for the fans in Stockton to watch. So congratulations to the Reading Royals. That brings us to the AHL. The Calder Cup Finals will start on Saturday. The Springfield Falcons are out. They got swept in the second round by the Syracuse Crunch, who are in the finals. They went on to win the Eastern Conference, so they will take on either Grand Rapids or Oklahoma City. As of when we record this, that series is still going on. So,
Grand Rapids, the
Griffins.
A affiliate of the Detroit Red Wings,
correct.
And a couple of those players got sent down after the Red Wings push. And then same with Oklahoma City. They're affiliated with the Edmonton Oilers, who have had four straight first overall draft picks.
Yeah,
so a lot of those guys are playing there as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of talent on those two clubs.
Oklahoma City also has Jonathan Chichu.
I saw that on a tweet because I follow them on Twitter. And, yeah, boy, might have to ask Brian Patafi about 50 goal scorers that end up having drinky problems and end up playing in the AHL and that whole. Because, I mean, that's just an amazing, horrible, sad story.
Fall from grace, yeah. Yep. Did you see the issue with Oklahoma City they had when the Storms went through? They had one of those playoff games with Grand Rapids was postponed. Because it rained so hard and damaged the roof that water was actually pouring into the building from above. And there was standing water in the Barons locker room, and they ended up having to clean it all out and push the game back a night. So, but that series is going again. Speaking of the Grand Rapids Griffins, I actually went to one of their games a few years back when my wife was in law school in Lansing. So we went over to Grand Rapids one night and saw the Griffins play your Marlies.
Ah, cool.
And that was the time when kind of before this wave of young guys got called up for the Red Wings, we saw Jimmy Howard and Valtteri Filppula were both playing for the Griffins at that time. So that's the magic of AHL hockey is you don't see as many guys from the ECHL make it up, but there are a lot of players from the AHL that end up being legit stars in the NHL. So it's pretty cool when you can see an AHL game and then 5 years later see guys starring on the grandest stage of them all.
Well, and Jimmy Devolano, the GM of the Detroit Red Wings, it's nice when you have draft picks like Henrik Zetterberg and Pavel Datsyuk that you take in the fifth round or whatever, and they turn into perennial all-stars.
Yeah.
But his philosophy because of that was we want our prospects overripe. So he wanted these guys, even though they were ready to play in the NHL, to stay in the A just to gain experience and hunger and passion. And so, yeah, in a lot of other organizations, Jimmy Howard and Vilteri Filippula and the rest of them would already been in the lineup, but he just kept them down there to develop. And that Red Wing team, man, they unbelievable, up and coming. What a game seven against Chicago, and mm-hmm. And boy, they're gonna make some noise in the East next year.
Yeah. So what was that name again?
Vitaleri Filipkula.
Wow. Some people have a way with words you don't have.
Yeah. Well, it's not the words that I have a problem with; it's the names.
Well, that too. And so, technology.
And technology.
So, anyway, that's the AHL update. In the NHL, the second round is over. The Pittsburgh Penguins beat Ottawa in 5. Boston beat the Rangers in 5. Chicago beat Detroit in 7, coming back from 3-1 down.
Yep. Not really surprising either. Chicago dug down deep, started playing their hockey, started being physical and pushing the offense, and they finally figured it out against the Wings. Mm-hmm. But still, the Wings, to me, are the story, the positive story of the playoffs this year. Just unbelievable run. I didn't think they had any chance to get out of the first round, and here they almost make it to the conference mm-hmm. finals. They're going to be, boy, I'm really excited to watch them next year.
It's odd with their string of success to now think about the Red Wings as the plucky underdog team.
Yes.
But that's kind of what they are now, because they've rebuilt to, they've lost so many pieces from the glory years in the 90s and this past decade that now it's a whole different kind of animal up there. And yeah, they're on the way back up. They didn't really rebuild so much as they reloaded.
Yep. So. And again, that's the benefits of having a Zetterberg and a Datsyuk and a Lidstrom, where you can just stockpile draft picks and develop and and when you finally need them, when a Lidstrom heads off, then you've had the time for your scouting department and your development program to fill that gap. And they haven't filled Nicholas Lidstrom's gap, but they have put enough guys in uniform that they can play playoff hockey.
Right. And a lot of that is just the experience of being in the AHL and playing critical situations. You go through a few playoff series and you play critical roles where you're on the power play and you're killing penalties and you're a top line guy. And there's a lot to be said for the value in doing that, even if it's a lower level of play, versus being called up a little too soon and being asked to play a role you're not really suited for.
Yep.
You know, if you're a top line guy playing 25 minutes a night in the AHL, if you're trying to develop a player, that's more valuable than calling him up, having him play 11 minutes a night on a third line where he's never getting special teams time. You can actually kind of screw up the way a guy's game develops if you call him up too soon. But some teams don't have that luxury. You're right. The Red Wings had that luxury where they were good enough for long enough that they could let guys stay down and get seasoning. Other teams, they're so desperate for any sort of answer that they
Edmonton
call guys
Oilers.
Up. Yeah. Well, and the Blues are an option, an example of that. You got
Columbus
a lot of
Blue
guys.
Jackets.
Yeah. You got a lot of guys where ideally they would have stayed in the AHL, but the NHL team was just so hard up for talent that they called guys up perhaps sooner than they should have been. And you end up almost bypassing the AHL as a developmental, because you end up having guys develop on your own roster because you don't have a better option.
Yep.
So, anyway, and also in the second round, the Kings beat the Sharks in 7. We both did go 4-for-4 with our second round picks, and you even had 2 of them perfect.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because I know hockey.
Yeah.
And that's why the Vancouver Canucks are going to be Stanley Cup champions this year.
Exactly.
Oh, that is the storyline to end all stories. And they fired everyone. The GM somehow still has his job there, but they did fire everyone else. I think they fired the Stick Boys. I mean, they fired everybody.
But they
still
have Luongo.
Well, he can't go anywhere. No, it isn't for now. It's forever, because that
contract is untradeable.
Yep.
Very much so. So in the third round, the Eastern Conference Finals, we have the number 1 seed Pittsburgh Penguins and the number 4 seed Boston Bruins. We exchanged our picks before the series began.
Yeah, boy, would we both want to redo at this point.
Yeah, we both picked Pittsburgh. You took them in 6. I took them in 7. And the Bruins went to Pittsburgh and won the first 2 games. So
handily.
Not looking good for our picks on that one.
Well, but the one thing I always say, and this one's a little different, but the first 2 games really don't mean anything. It's nice to be up, but look at the Red Wings. They were up 3-1 against Chicago. They had one more game at home to play, and they lost all those games. And
true.
And so the first 2 games, you got to win four. And I really hate the worst phrase in all of sports is, this is a must-win game. Because there really isn't a must-win game until if you lose, you're out.
Right.
You know, the series clinching game is the must-win.
Right.
And it's nice to get up 2-0. It's going to be really tough for Pittsburgh because they've got to go on the road. Different for L.A. where they're going home against Chicago. But sometimes going on the road's a good thing. Sometimes you get in that hotel. You don't got to worry about the wives. You don't have to worry about the girlfriends. There ain't no kids around.
Yeah.
At least that's the story of my life. And and you can just play real simple hockey, and you might see Pittsburgh bounce right back just because they're trying to put on the show, and Sidney's trying to take on Zdeno Chara all by himself in front of the home crowd and blah, blah, blah. And now you can get away from all that, play a real simple, grind-it-out style of hockey, and go back to Pittsburgh tied 2-2.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sticking by my picks.
You hear it a lot of times where teams will go on the road, especially if they're slumping at home. They'll go on the road, and they'll win a game by – quote-unquote, playing a good road game, a classic road game. Well, if it works so well on the road, why don't you do it at home? But you get caught up in the fans and the energy of the building and wanting to make the flashy move to make the fans go, ooh.
Well, and I think part of it, too, is you're just comfortable.
It's
a lot of times, even with Evansville this year, you practice there all the time. It's your locker room. And when you go out to practice, you're always trying that little extra toe drag, around your buddy, the defenseman, and whatever else. And you're working on funky bank shots because you're used to your boards. Mm-hmm. And so I think you get more comfortable and that – it's not a false sense of security, but you're just a little bit more loose at home.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's good. That's home ice advantage. But sometimes you get a little too loose and maybe even a little too hyped up because it's your home crowd. And that leads to 6-1 losses. Right.
But then you go on the road and you kind of – it's more like a business trip.
Yep,
you're more focused on the task at hand.
And you're more concerned about – you're not quite sure how this board is going to bounce. What happens when this puck gets dumped in?
Right. So you're thinking of the game better rather than just kind of going with the flow. Yep. And sometimes, especially at this juncture in the playoffs, going with the flow can get you in trouble.
Yep.
As it has with the Penguins so far. So, yeah, we both picked the Penguins. You picked them in 6. I picked them in 7. In the West, we got the top seed Chicago Blackhawks and the 5 seed Kings. We both went with the upset in here. You picked the Kings in 5. I picked the Kings.
Yeah, I'm still sticking with the Kings, but obviously that 5
not
is
not 5.
That's some fuzzy numbers that are going to have to make to work that out.
Put it in the old Chip Rossetti Iceman calculator.
Yeah.
You can figure out a way to make it happen. We both went with the Kings. I went with them in 6 because we have more faith in Jonathan Quick than we have in Crawford.
Yeah, you look at both these rosters, and you got Richards, you got Jeff Carter for the Kings, you got Taze, you got Kane, you look at the D, you got Doughty and Scuderi, you've got Seabrook and Keith, and then you look at Jonathan Quick, and then you look at Corey Crawford, who I just think he's horrible. I really do. Watching him against that wing series, and he's giving up rebounds and everything else, I don't believe in him. And then they're chanting, Corey, Corey, Corey's making huge saves. So, you can never write a guy out.
Yeah. And you can never take your pick for the gospel.
No.
Mr. Canucks, no. Stanley Cup champion.
Yes, indeed.
So,
believe.
One other thing I wanted to mention on the playoff update. The coolest story for the Bruins so far in the playoffs has been rookie defenseman Torrey Krug. And for those that don't know, Torrey Krug is the younger brother of Matt and Adam Krug, who played for the Icemen this past season. He was called up from the AHL at the start of the second round, scored a goal in his first career playoff game, turned around and scored another goal in his second career playoff game, finished the last series with 4 goals in 5 games. He is the first rookie defenseman in NHL history to score 4 goals in his first 5 playoff games.
So it's unbelievable.
Pretty cool story, and he's related to guys that have played for the Icemen. So
Brian Patafi tweeted, I don't know if you saw it or not, obviously you didn't because you don't have it down in the Brian Patafi tweet of the week that we'll get to in a little bit, but Patafi tweeted, Matt Krug just got called up to the big leagues. Little brother needs his car washed and his shoes shined. And I talked to Patafi about it. He said, yeah. Matt was pretty upset about that one. And we've all seen Matt get a little upset at Iceman games.
You don't want to be on his bad
side. So, Patafi with a little glib of the tongue there. One less Twitter follower, I think, after that exchange.
That's pretty funny. So, We will move on. Playoff update is over. We'll move on to silly season. A few more things have broke since our last show. First off, on the topic we mentioned earlier about Allen and Rapid City coming over to the ECHL from the CHL, now it sounds like that's not going to happen. There's an agent for the Professional Hockey Players Association by the name of Daryl Wolski. He tweeted over the weekend that last Friday a court ruled that Allen and Rapid City must stay in the CHL.
Wow.
So there must be something, and none of us are privy to the information. There has to be something contractually that is requiring them to stay. Now, clearly, they thought they had a way out. They thought there must have been some sort of out clause or some sort of, you know, the CHL must remain viable as a business for us to remain in the league. And apparently the court did not agree that they could just leave. So it sounds like, if Wolski is correct, it sounds like that the Americans and Rush are stuck in the CHL against their will. Unless the CHL, for some reason, has a change of heart and says, well, if you don't want to be here, get out. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they are clinging to every sign of life that they can keep.
Yeah, and it sounds like maybe Allen and Rapid City just thought they won't fight us on this, and obviously they did. So,
yeah, I think they may have thought, well, the CHL doesn't have the capital. They've been keeping teams afloat for so long. They just don't. They wouldn't even bother to fight it. But, yeah, turns out apparently they did, and the league won, at least for now. So I still think the eventuality is they will end up coming over, perhaps a few other teams too, because I just don't see that league lasting that much longer. But they're going to be around this coming season, and it sounds like those two teams will still be there and not coming over to the E as had been widely expected. The interesting thing is, if they had come over, believe it or not, Allen's closest geographic rival in the ECHL would be the Evansville Icemen.
Obviously.
729 miles. You talk about being on an island. Yeah. 729
That's
miles.
That's closer than
closest.
Anything in the California, with
yeah,
the, like, Ontario or anything? Like
Allen
that?
Is basically the Dallas area.
Uh-huh.
And, the next closest team is actually one of the teams in the southeast. I think Gwinnett might be the next closest
team. Wow.
Yeah.
So
the Icemen would be their closest rival.
A little bit of geography of your beloved America.
Yeah. Other news from this agent, Wolski, he did tweet that the CHL's Fort Worth Brahmas will be ceasing operations, which is not surprising. That's generally been expected since players and staff and rinks and whatnot have not been getting paid, and the owners have more or less gone MIA, and the staff is directing people to the CHL for information because they don't have any. So that's not surprising. Also in the CHL, the St. Charles Chill are finally showing some signs of life. They launched a new website, a new Facebook page, new Twitter feed, and they are now accepting season ticket deposits. So maybe something actually will happen there. We were thinking that they were going to be DOA, but now there's actually some signs of life. So hopefully they'll make that work over there. The scuttlebutt was they may have gotten some new ownership or at least new partners in the ownership. So maybe that's what they were waiting on before they really plowed forward. So if they make that work over in the St. Louis area, good for them.
Now, is I'm jumping ahead here, but is Peoria not operating next year?
Peoria is in the SPHL.
Okay.
That's who. Peoria and the Bloomington Blaze are going to have teams in the SPHL.
Well, and I wonder if that became official, if that – how close is Peoria to St. Louis, the St. Charles team? Did that kind of motivate them
it's
once?
It's only a couple, 2-3 hours. Okay. So
I didn't know if that would help them – sell tickets because they're at a CHL level instead of the SPHL level. It was just a thought.
I don't know. I think they were just waiting. It had broken a while back that the Chill were seeking investors. It was public knowledge. There's a website that is out there that helps broker ownership exchanges and shares of sporting teams. And the Chill were one of the teams that was on the list that they were still seeking additional investors. So maybe they just got extra people to come on board and help bankroll the operation, and now they feel like they can move forward. Maybe they were waiting for that. They didn't want to throw money at it if they weren't 100% sure they were going to go forward. So sounds like that's actually going to happen. They're going to play at the Family Arena in St. Charles, which is on the northwest side of St. Louis. Holds about 8,000 for hockey, I think. So it would be a good fit for the CHL if they can make it work.
Yep.
So good luck to them. Speaking of the Rivermen, the franchise that was formerly the Rivermen, the AHL franchise that the Canucks purchased and will not be operating in Peoria, it sounds like they are going to move that team to Utica, New York, which is what has been rumored for a while. The Vancouver media was reporting that the AHL is expected to vote on it on June 13th. So hopefully within the next week or so, they will have that finalized. That will give the AHL a set roster of teams so that they can do divisional alignments and get their schedule put out. And also, with regard to the Icemen, the Allen and Rapid City decision, if that is indeed official, that should finalize the list of teams that will be in the ECHL for this coming season, which will be 22 with Trenton folding. So probably will be the same 9 teams in the West and 13 teams in the East.
We're already one position spot better than we were
last
year. That's
true. We will not finish 14th in the East. We can guarantee it. You heard it here first. And one last thing in silly season, down in the SPHL, the Augusta Riverhawks have announced that they are going on hiatus for this coming
season.
What
a nightmare.
Yeah, the ice plant at their arena is broken and the city won't fix it.
Nope.
And we bring this up, generally we don't talk a whole lot about the SPHL because it's beneath us, frankly. But
yeah, it's amazing how 3 years change what is beneath you.
Yeah, 3 years ago we needed a ladder to get up to the SPHL.
And yeah, no doubt.
But yeah, we mentioned that because the Augusta Riverhawks are the organization that Brian Patafi used to work for. He was there before he came here. Which I guess it's
and they were an ECHL team back
in the day, yeah.
Yeah, they've fallen on really hard times.
Yeah,
out
proof
there.
That when Brian Patafi leaves, everything just goes to shambles.
I like that.
So anyway,
I also like the fact that you edited that for radio.
Yeah. This ain't my first rodeo.
Yeah.
This is my 26th
That's
rodeo.
That's right. Who would ever thought?
Yeah.
Half a year.
So we mentioned that because that brings us to
the Brian Patafi Tweet of the Week.
Indeed. Iceman fans can follow Iceman Athletic Trainer and weekly amusement park guest, or semi-weekly, or whenever the heck we do this show during the summer.
Summer schedule.
Yes. Occasionally.
It's more than okay. It's regularly.
Every 2 to 3 weeks, give or take.
Depending how loosely you want to define regular.
Yeah. Anyway, you can follow Brian Patafi on Twitter. His handle is bpatafi. That's B-P-A-T-A-F-I-E. His tweet, this is from a little while ago, but it's one of those evergreen kind of jokes. He said, quote, "Note to all men, reading magazines like Cosmo, Glamour, and Women's Health is not a bad thing. It's like having the other team's playbook," end quote.
That was 140 characters? Boy, that looks long.
Boy, you want to sit here and count them?
No.
Do you need to take your shoes off to get that high?
A few times. Whoa. I just spit everywhere. There we go.
Break out the squeegees.
Iceman trivia. I'm fired up. Give it to me.
All right.
Daddy is too hot.
We have a new catchphrase.
Yes, we do.
You are 6-12 in trivia. You got the last one wrong. This one goes back to something that came up at the Pyle Q&A. It was referenced officially for the first time that the 2013-2014 Iceman home opener will be on Saturday, October 19th. Mark your calendars if you have not already.
I think I'm free that weekend.
Oh, that's good.
There we go.
Hopefully it will be Saturday, October 19th. Who knows? That may have been based on a draft of the schedule, including Allen and Rapid City, so it could still change.
Yep.
But if it remains Saturday, October 19th, the opponent is still to be determined, but most fans figure it will be the Fort Wayne Comets for the third straight year. Which brings me to the trivia question. The last time our home opener was not against Fort Wayne was the 2010-2011 season, which was our first in the CHL. Who was our home opener opponent that year?
Wow. Give me a moment. All right. My answer is, after I had to quickly run to the CHL website, because it's been so long I couldn't remember any of the team names.
Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. He was already cheating.
I'm not cheating. I'm just referencing. I didn't go to the schedule or anything. Yeah. I just looked at the front page.
Uh-huh.
I am going with Bloomington.
All right.
Do you know my daughter does that? Every time she... she'll ask me a question. If I answer wrong, she earns me. That she
Michael Shockley style?
Yes. She learned it from Iceman Insights.
Very good.
That girl is corrupt.
So the answer is not Bloomington. We All have right. someone here live.
In studio guest.
In the studio.
Carter Burley.
He has the correct answer. What is your answer, Carter?
The Mallards.
That is correct.
Wow, the Quad City
Mallards. The Quad
Mallards.
City Mallards.
Is that when we played the exhibition game against them?
Well, then, there was an exhibition game before that, but it wasn't against them.
Okay. The first because official... that was the whole Jordan Lane flip-flop.
Yes. Okay. We played Mississippi. The Mississippi okay. River Kings in the exhibition game, and that's when Lane fought one of our guys. Yep. I can't remember who, and then it might have been Cody. And then
went to Mississippi afterwards for another exhibition
game. He got cut.
And then came back on the bus with us.
Yeah. So that's how we got Jordan Lane. But yeah, it was the Quad City Mallards, Saturday, October 23rd, 2010. The Iceman actually won that game 6-3.
How about that?
So there you go.
Have we won a home opener against Fort Wayne?
Yeah, we did last year. The first year at the Ford Center we won.
Okay.
This past year we lost. So we're 1-1 against the Comets on opening night.
Got it.
So there you go. Iceman Trivia. You have fallen to 6-13.
It's fine.
Yeah, that's Whatever. True. Chad Burley chiming in. You lost to an 11-year-old kid. Well, you're used to losing to kids, right? You probably lose to Ivy all the time.
Yep. So she is ridiculously tough in Monopoly. It's pathetic. So, real hockey?
Real hockey. This is a story I have to tell. I have to go on a little rant.
All right.
Normally, see, when we go on rants, it's not on the script and it's totally a tangent.
Yeah, because I got one saved up.
This one's actually on the script.
You can it do deals your, with the Courier and Press.
You can do your rant after this. Okay. My rant first. I was at Target this past weekend. So I'm wearing an Iceman t-shirt. Go through the checkout. Cashier sees my shirt and asks if I like the Iceman. My first thought is, no, I'm just
well,
wearing
maybe
this.
She thought you like picked it up at the mission store or something for a dollar.
Yeah, I'm being ironic or something. So I said, yeah, I like the Iceman. So she said she went to a game last year and had a good time. And then she asked me if I like a, quote, real hockey team too. So it took me a second to figure out what the heck she meant. And then I realized what she meant and said, yeah, I'm a St. Louis Blues fan. That was when the checkout was done and I left. But to clarify, according to this cashier at Target, the Icemen are apparently not, quote, real hockey. So the next time you see Josh Beaulieu, tell him that giant wrist injury he has is fake.
Just like the WWE, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's fake. Now, I know pretty much everyone who's listening to this understands that the Icemen are, quote, real. But it does kind of bring me to a point that a lot of people, there's a misconception that the only professional hockey is the NHL. And I think people need to understand, and if people around town get it wrong, correct them so that people know the Icemen are professional hockey. Minor league is professional. These are guys that are getting paid to play. They're making a living wage, maybe not a great living wage.
Yeah,
but
the only difference is the amount of zeros at the end of the check.
Exactly, yeah.
Where that decimal point is put.
These guys make one comma money. Guys in the NHL make two comma money. But they are still professionals, so it's just like in baseball. AAA and AA players, they're professionals too. They may not be in the majors, but they are professionals, and it's the same thing here. The NHL is professional major league hockey, but the leagues like the AHL and the ECHL and the CHL and even the SPHL are professional hockey leagues. Now, you go below that down to like the Federal Hockey League, and that's more like semi-pro. They're not earning a living
wage.
Well,
but I like to call that pro, and we've had a little issue back in the day on the old Iceman Maniac Forum, that I think Isaac Coy was a professional. We played it, it was an A-level hockey league, but the old AHA and the AAHL, it was professional hockey. They didn't make a lot of money, but
they made money.
These guys came in, and they had to work summer jobs and everything else, and some of them even had jobs during the season just to pay their bills, but they were committed to playing professional hockey even at that level, and I don't... Is it beneath the CHL? Is it beneath the ECHL? There's no doubt about it. But a championship is a championship. Yeah. And a coaching strategy and players playing and committing to a season with travel and teams, that's professional. And getting paid for it, even if it is $50 a week. And I mean, I think some of those guys, made more off of the per diem on the road trips than they did on their actual check.
Salary,
but,
yeah.
But they were committed to it, and that's professional.
Right.
And that's the way it is.
That's my take, too, is that if you get paid for it, even if it's not much, if you're getting paid, you are a professional. Now, some people will throw around the whole living wage, that if you don't make a living wage, it's more or less like a side job. You're not a true professional. And if that's your definition of professional, then okay, maybe some of the really low-level leagues are not professional. You would consider them to be semi-pro. But no matter how you slice it, a league like the ECHL is professional.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of your definition of professional. So if someone goes around and if they're in an Iceman game and they look at you and they say, well, what's your favorite pro team? Tell them it's the Iceman.
Yep.
Because the Iceman are pro. The pro is not limited to the major leagues, and that's the case in any sport, but that's a pet peeve of mine. It always bugs me when people talk like the major leagues in any given sport is the only professional league, that there are other leagues that are professional leagues. Just because they're not majors doesn't mean these guys aren't pros.
Do I get to share my pet peeve
now?
Yes, now
it's your time.
It's not really a pet peeve. I really like Randy Beard. I really do. I think he's a great guy. And how awesome was it Memorial Day weekend, and you open up your Courier Press, and there's an article about Coach Crom. And I think that's about all let me clarify. That's all I want. I want a paper that, just because it's the summer, still checks in with the Iceman, especially a season like this, where we got all kinds of change. You got a new coaching staff. You got a whole new regime coming in and the way they're doing stuff. And real nice article about Rich Crom. It was just awesome to see it. And it impressed my parents. They come in from Detroit. And, you know, my dad doesn't expect anything else. He opens up the paper, finds a hockey article. That's what he expects.
Yeah.
And so I was really glad he did it. Of course, my continual pet peeve with the Courier and Press is it was obvious that Randy wrote the article weeks back, and it just made it into publication that weekend because he had a comment that said, Rich Crom's going to be looking for work. He thinks things will pick up after next week's lottery draft in the NHL.
And they already had that.
And they had already had it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it was, and again, I don't have a problem. I understand the newspaper, you write a bunch of articles, some of them don't make it in, and eventually it gets put in. But put a little caveat in it that says, this interview was done, you know, back, you know, after Rich Crom's firing. So,
right. But
to me, that's just another factual error that you can find in that paper every day.
Well, I will say this. Yes, it was very nice to see an article out of the blue. I did not expect to see an article at that time, especially when nothing newsworthy had happened. Usually the only time we get any ink during the summer is if a player is signed or something like that. So to just have a random feature story like that to update everybody on the status of Crom was awesome. I'll say this. Randy Beard, the sports department in general, the problem with factual errors and typos and things is not limited to them. The Courier and Press in general has problems with that. And I think a lot of it is probably just a lot of stories are up against deadline, not in this case, but a lot of stories are up against deadline. You got a lot of staff cutbacks. There's just not nearly as many people working on it as there used to be. Now, you can debate whether or not those are legitimate reasons or just excuses, and that's for each individual to decide. But there are a lot of boundaries to the quality of newspapers, and it's not just the Courier either. You see even bigger city newspapers. I read the Indianapolis Star on a regular basis online, and they've got issues too. So it's more of an industry-wide problem. So when people criticize the Courier and Press, you can criticize them for not covering the Iceman enough, and that's probably a legitimate criticism. But there are a lot of problems that we gripe about that it's not just them. It's just the way the industry is these days. Now, in a perfect world, it wouldn't be, but that's just how it is.
Yep. It's this darn internet.
Yeah.
Messed everything up.
Yep, this worldwide internet.
But again, I'm glad Randy Beard wrote the article. It was a good article. I'm glad, again, you get to see the human faces, whether it's Rich Crom, whether it's Terry Ficarelli, whether it is a Todd Robinson or a Kenny R2-D2 Baker, whether you like them or not, they are humans. So
what about Jason Dale?
Jason Dale! Ooh, he is a real human. Daddy getting too hot. Booster clubbing.
Booster clubbing. Wanted to mention a couple things for the booster club real quick.
Because we're already over an hour.
Yeah, why not? We'll make Patapi wait a little longer. we did announce our cool summer fan gathering schedule. For those that don't know, every summer for the last few years, the Booster Club basically puts out a list of dates and events around the tri-state that fans can go to. It's just the Booster Club doesn't pay for any of it. It's just a matter of here are a few suggestions. Let's all get together and have a good time to let everyone get together and hang out during the off season when there's no hockey to be going to games for. So the schedule and all the details and ticket prices and stuff and everything is at IcemanManiacs.com. Again, this is for all fans. The Booster Club organizes it, but you don't have to be in the Booster Club in order to go to these events and join everybody and have some fun. So the first event is this coming Friday. There's an Otters game with post-game fireworks. That's June 7th. The rest of the events on the list are June 22nd, a Demolition City roller derby bout at the Coliseum, which if you've never been in the Coliseum, it's an old but very cool building.
Yep.
It's like going back in time.
It is, especially when you go to the men's restroom and you get to the urinal and it's about 8 inches wide.
Yeah, and there's a cockroach the size of a mouse walking up the wall.
But and roller derby in there is just a fantastic venue.
It's perfect event for that building.
Well, boxing, I think, could also
be really, really
cool.
Well, and they do wrestling there. Yep. I don't know if they still do, but there used to be Coliseum Championship Wrestling there. Yeah, it's a really cool kind of old school venue because it's old. But it's one of those places that if you've never been in there, you need to go watch an event there just to have done it.
Godzilla, Shelby and Payne, a couple of the strikers for the DCRD team, and Laura Hokiller, Hokely. is another favorite of mine. So she actually played hockey out at Swander,
really?
As well as her daughter Caitlin played for North High School Huskies.
There is some crossover. A lot of the girls, cause, you know, you're on skates, so a lot of them do or at least like hockey. I know when Rosie, the other roller derby group, it's no longer, but when they used to do events at Swander, there would be a lot of them that would come to the Iceman games too. So there is some crossover there, and we've done events at roller derby shows before, and it's always a lot of fun. Part of the fun of those events is just the goofy names that they come up with.
It's that whole culture, that whole roller derby flat track culture is just fantastic.
It's really cool. My favorite
one. Because even the refs have their own nicknames and they're all set up.
Yeah. My favorite one was Rosie had a girl named Hertz Donut. That's my favorite one. But anyway, yes, to January. June 22nd is the DCRD show. On July 13th, Ellis Park for obviously thoroughbred horse racing. Plus, that's one of the days they're doing wiener dog races.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. July 22nd is when we're all going to try to get together and go out and support the Iceman Maniacs co-ed softball team. That's at Iglehart Park on the north side. August 3rd is an Evansville Enforcers football game. This year they're playing at Enloe Field over at Bossy.
Oh, cool.
And I think there's a couple of Iceman fans who are part of the team. I know
that's another fantastic venue to watch a sporting event. The press box, though, not a fun place to call a football game from on a hot August Friday night.
A little toasty in there?
It's really soggy in there because everyone is perspiring. Oh. I mean, there's just sweat everywhere.
So it's like a sauna?
It's more like a men's locker room. It's just nasty. So
daddy's too hot. But literally.
Oh, that was too good. I wasn't ready for that one. Jason Dale.
Now you're getting hotter.
Yes, I know. Let's move on.
So yeah, August 3rd is the Enforcers game. That's actually their
Brian Patafi's gonna be out in his car pulling up, being like, "I'm being preempted for this stuff."
That Enforcers game is their home finale. The next event is August 22nd, another Otters game. It's Thirsty Thursday with $2 beer. That'll get people's attention.
There it will.
And then the final event is on Sunday, September 8th. That is week one in the NFL, so we'll all get together at Buffalo Wild Wings, which is an Iceman sponsor, and hang out and
home
watch
of the radio
football.
Show? Is that
no? Not the home of the radio show.
Home of the away games.
Away game viewing parties, So that's the list. If you want more details and any time, you can see the whole schedule at IcemanManiacs.com. The other thing for the Booster Club I wanted to mention is the Booster Club is now selling Maniac Asylum T-shirts.
I saw the Facebook post on it.
Yeah,
they look nice.
The front says Maniac Asylum, and the back has a straitjacket graphic that says Embrace the Insanity.
Yep.
It does not say Daddy's Too Hot.
No. I'm going to make my own one that says that.
There you go. The shirts are $15 for small through extra large, or $20 for 2 or 3X. And all the proceeds go to the Booster Club. So you can support a good cause, get a unique shirt. You don't have to sit in the asylum to have yourself an asylum T-shirt. So if you're a true maniac, get yourself one.
There you go, because the asylum can reach out all around the Ford
right,
Center.
Right, exactly. So all the info is on IcemanManiacs.com. You can order online. This is not just limited to giving Dixie your cash or check. You can order online. We got PayPal set up, so it's completely secure. You can use your credit card. What we're going to do is we will have an ordering deadline of October 1st. So you have to get your order in by then. After October 1st passes, we will submit one bulk order with the vendor. And then pickup will be available starting at the home opener tailgate, which is tentatively set for October 19th. And then if you can't attend the tailgate, then Dixie will have the shirts at the Booster Club table at games. So there you go.
Fantastic.
Go on IcemanManiacs.com. Get yourself a T-shirt.
He is Michael Shockley, and he comes and joins us here on the Amusement Park Radio every time we do this show from 1 to 2-ish.
2-ish, give or take.
Michael Shockley, senior writer, a webmaster, vice president of Offbeat Shenanigans, and again, you can check out the website, IcemanManiacs.com, for all your Iceman information, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 366 days a year.
Yeah, our next show will be in 3 weeks.
Okay.
June 26th.
Cool.
And hopefully I will have something pretty cool to talk about. As opposed to the stuff we usually talk about.
Yeah, but, for the first time. Episode 27.
Yeah, we'll finally get there. next week, I'm going to be on the road. My wife has a business conference in Buffalo, New York, early in the week. We're making a family vacation.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to Buffalo. We're spending a couple nights in Niagara Falls, and then we're going to go spend a night in Toronto.
We are
going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Have you ever been?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
I've got the picture upstairs. Have you not seen the picture
I
took with the cup? Yeah. We used to go to Toronto pretty often because it was a 3.5-hour drive from Detroit. Mm-hmm. So whenever we had a long weekend or something like that, we'd pile all the guys up in the car, make it a stud trip, get one hotel room, everyone just crash on the floor, and then we'd just bebop all around town and all day and night long, and then just work back to the hotel, crash, get up, eat breakfast in the morning, and do it all over again. So it's a fantastic city. It is my favorite city in the world.
I'm really looking forward to it. The only place in Canada I've ever been is Windsor, and that was just for a few hours, you know, across from Detroit. So
that's about all you need in Windsor.
Yeah, a couple hours is about it.
Wow, I had a Tim Hortons donut. Wow, I went and saw the riverfront. Okay.
Yeah. We went to I was up there for a hockey tournament. I was playing in a youth hockey tournament in Detroit, so we had some time to kill and figured, we'll cross over and go see Windsor. And yeah, we were there for about an hour and we felt like we'd seen everything. We ended up eating at McDonald's. We went to Windsor, Ontario and ate at McDonald's. But it was a very friendly McDonald's.
We used to, back in the day before Tim Hortons came into the United States, we would go over there just for donuts.
Just to get
donuts. Like, man, I have got a hankering for some Tim Hortons. So we'd load up the car and go across the border Tim Hortons.
I'm excited because there's a Timmy's about a block from our hotel in Buffalo.
Perfect.
So I'm going to be eating breakfast there.
I can guarantee you there's a Tim Hortons a block from you anywhere you go in Toronto.
Yeah, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a Tim Hortons.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Or homeless people sleeping on the street. So you got to, but they don't mind if you hop over them.
Yeah, there you go. So,
don't worry about that.
I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to Niagara Falls, never been to Toronto, so looking forward to seeing Niagara Falls. And we're not planning on doing Toronto the right way. You figure you'd need a lot more than a day or two to do that. But we definitely want to mark a couple things off the bucket list. So we're going to go see the CN Tower and then go to the Hockey Hall. And that's really all that's on my list for having to see in Toronto right now. Hopefully later in life we'll go back and really do Toronto the right way, but I got to see the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm going to look and see if they still have the Kira Hurley thing up. Hopefully they do.
Ah, plug for Steven Rickard.
Yeah, there you go.
His testicles just started twitching at the
name.
There
it is. We almost made it through.
We almost made it.
Ah, couldn't resist.
At the 43-minute mark of this segment.
That's about right. We should say this is probably now airing after Patafi.
Yes.
I'm sure by this point I have been preempted.
Yes, you have been.
So hope everyone enjoyed Brian Patafi. It's now going on, about 2:45, give or take?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I've got a haircut at 3, so we need to wrap it up.
Well, then we'll do that.
All right.
Music bomb. See you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.